Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Just this one verse, and then I'll pray, and then I'll preach. Here's what the Bible says. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight, for each one that's here. I too pray for those that couldn't be here for various reasons, for sickness and for others. And I pray, Father, that you bless them tonight. But as we've met together and we gather around your word tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts. You remind us of some of the benefits of reading the Word of God, and we would stay faithful in our Bible readings and in applying your Word to our hearts. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, tonight would be the night they decide to get saved. Just speak to our hearts, work in them, and do in them what you know needs to be done. Help us to uplift Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, why read the Bible? Why read the Bible? And I want to use Jeremiah, this verse from Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, as the introduction to the subject tonight. I want to start there at the end of the verse where it says, "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And remind you, if you're a Christian tonight, you too are called by the name of Christ. You're called Christian. You're called little Christ. And so I think this verse applies to all of us. We are called by His name. And we have His words. The verse says, "Thy words were found." That's exactly what the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of God. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And that's what the Bible is. The Bible is a book that men wrote taking dictation from God. Now, we don't do it in our office much anymore, but because we all got our computers and we don't even have secretaries, so we have to type our own correspondence and notes and stuff like that. But it used to be you had a secretary and they would take dictation. And you would dictate your letter and they would write it down in a funny language called shorthand. And then they'd go and type it up. Well, that's the way Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. That's the way Joshua wrote the book of Joshua. So the way that all the books of the Bible were written, God spoke to men through the Holy Ghost and said, "Here's what I want you to write down." Not only the words, but God was so particular about what He wanted, He said, "Here's where I want you to put the punctuation marks." Every jot and every tittle, as the Bible speaks of itself, is there because God wanted it there. And so, now I'm going to skip that little phrase just for a minute, "and I did eat them." Go down to that phrase that says, "and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." In my notes, I have a little circle that's drawn because this is what that phrase means. The joy and rejoicing of my heart. I read the Bible. I rejoice. I get joy. And it causes me to read it some more. And I rejoice. And I get joy. Causes it to read it some more. It's just like a never-ending circle that goes round and round and round. That's what the Bible ought to be to us. Every time we read it, we ought to rejoice. Have that joy in our heart that causes us to want to read it more. And then we come down to that phrase, "and I did eat them." Now, how do you eat the Word of God? I mean, do I tear the pages out of my Bible and put them between two pieces of bread and have a Bible sandwich? Do I take it and tear it out of my Bible and spread peanut butter and jelly on it and eat it that way? No, that's crazy. And you say, you're crazy, preacher, if you do that. I don't do that. And it is crazy. We don't eat the Bible with our mouth and our stomach. We eat the Bible with our mind and with our spirit. And again, by way of introduction, I want to give you five ways which we eat the Bible. We eat the Bible, first of all, by reading it. Just by reading it. By reading the history of the Bible. By reading the poetry of the Bible. By reading the adventure of the Bible. How could you study the Sunday school lesson this morning and not understand that that was an adventure story, true story, shows how God works. But man, what an adventure story. I mean, it would just it just grabs your attention. I can remember laying in bed as a little boy and having my grandma tell me the story of David and Goliath. And even though I heard it hundreds of times, I'd love for her to tell it to me because I liked that just as well. I wasn't much for reading when I was a kid. I know some of my friends, they read the story about two brothers. The Hardy Boys. And the girls were reading, Nancy Drew. And I wasn't much of reading those books. I like to hear the stories of the Bible. And so one of the ways we eat it is to read the adventure stories that are in the Bible, to read the science that's in the Bible, and just read the instructions and the sermons and the prayers. I mean, just word after word, sentence after sentence, verse after verse, chapter after chapter, book after book. Just read it. Just read it. That's one way that we eat it. Another way we eat it is to hear it preached. To hear different preachers take the Word of God. And by the way, if a preacher's not preaching from the Word of God, you ought to turn them off. Don't care if it's on the radio. Don't care if it's on the TV. Don't care if you go to some church. If they get up and they don't stick to this book, if they don't preach the Word of God, you ain't going to get much. But another way we eat the Word of God is when we come together in a service like this and we hear the Word of God preached. It gets into our mind. It gets into our spirit. Maybe the preacher will take a verse. Maybe he'll take several verses. Maybe he'll take just a phrase. Maybe just a word. But every time that we hear Bible-based preaching, we have an opportunity to get more of the Word of God into our heart and into our mind. A third way we eat it is Bible study. Bible study. Either in a group, like in Sunday school, or like we do on Wednesday night, or when you study the Bible as an individual. And I'm not talking about just, you know, sitting in your recliner reading it. That's one thing, and that's good. You ought to do that. I'm talking about where you get to get the Bible dictionary out, and you get the Atlas out, and you get the concordances out, and you get the commentaries out, and you really dig, and you really study, and you try to understand what's going on. When Brother Leonard asked me this morning about those verses in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he said, hey, in verse 50 it says he slew him. Verse 51 says that he slew him. When did he kill him? What killed him? Was it the rock or the sword? I never had thought about that before. I think the rock killed him. I think David cut his head off so everybody else could know that he was dead. Now, that's a blessed truth. And unless you study, you don't get those kind of things. So we study it. Number four, how else do we eat the Word of God? We memorize it. We commit it to our memory. And again, I hope you're learning the verses that are in the bulletin. I was thinking this afternoon, you know, memorizing the Bible is like riding a bike. How do you do it? You just do it over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, when I learned how to ride a bike, I started riding and fell. Started riding and fell. Started riding and fell. You do the same thing in memorizing the Bible. You just get your verse and you go over it 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 and you go over it. Say it to yourself. Say it to somebody else. You just keep going over and over and over and over, and sooner or later that verse catches hold. It's recorded in your mind, and it's been amazing to me how God in my own life, verses that I have learned and committed to memory, how he will bring them back to my mind. Brother Clint, you know what I'm talking about. How he will bring those verses back to your mind when you're in situations, when you're talking to somebody or when you're counseling with somebody, how the Holy Spirit just brings that verse back to your mind and it fits the exact situation. So memorize. And then number five, how do we eat the Word of God? We meditate on it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God was talking to Joshua and he said, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Now, meditating, again, is sort of like memorizing verses. You get a verse, and you think about it. And you sort of put it aside for a moment. Then you think. Then you bring it back and you think about it some more. Then you put it aside. And then you bring it back and you think about it some more. Sort of like a cow chewing its cud. Cow has seven stomachs. Four? Six? Somewhere between four and six. But they have more than one. And when a cow chews its cud, what it does, you know, it takes a big hunk of grass and chews on it for a while. Then it sends it down to stomach number one. And then said, well, I'm going to chew this cud some more. So it brings it up from stomach number one and chews on it some more. Then it sends it down to stomach number two. Lets it set for a while. Said, and then brings it back up and said, I'm going to chew on this some more. Then it sends it down to stomach number three. And you get the picture. I won't go on any further. But thanks. That's what meditating on Bible verses, that's exactly what it's like. You get a verse like this one we're learning. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I was talking to Dave out in the hallway before he left this afternoon. We were talking about the practical ways that verse applies. If I stay in the Bible, and if I love the Bible, then you are going to have a hard time offending me. Anybody is. Because I'm going to love the Word of God so much that it's just going to be hard. Nothing shall offend you. That's what the Bible says. If you want the hillbilly version, if you got God with you, you're okay. But it says the same thing. See, Brother Leonard, you're in trouble when I come to your Sunday school class. I have illustrations for four or five sermons now. But anyhow, that's how we eat the Word of God. We meditate on it. Okay, so those are five ways that we eat the Word of God. Now, I want to give you six reasons why we should. Six reasons why we should read it. Six reasons why we should hear it preached. Six reasons why we should study it. Why we should memorize it. Why we should meditate on it. Number one, it's the way to salvation. The Word of God is the way to salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in Romans 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Every single person that's saved tonight, you're saved because there is a Bible. And you have that faith that was dealt to every man by God, and that faith came by hearing the Bible, the Word of God. In Acts chapter 8, when the Holy Spirit said, hey, Philip, I want you to leave the town of Samaria, where you've had a great revival, where everybody in the whole town got saved. I want you to go out into the wilderness. And Philip went out into the wilderness, and he saw one man sitting in a chariot. He was a man from Ethiopia. He was a eunuch. He was in the court of the king or queen who was running Ethiopia at the time. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship. He picked up a copy of the book of Isaiah. And he was reading in the book of Isaiah about Jesus. And Philip came up to him after the Holy Spirit told him to, and he said, hey, are you understanding what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I unless some man guide me? And Philip got into the chariot with him, and he was reading there in Isaiah about Jesus. And the Bible says that Philip began at the same verse and preached unto him Jesus. And it was just a few minutes later where you read in that account in Acts chapter 8 where the Ethiopian got saved and got baptized because he was in the Word of God. It's the way of salvation. I read a story, it's been several years, about an atheist that says, I am going to prove that the Bible is wrong. And he was challenged by somebody and said, well, how can you prove it wrong? Have you ever read it all the way through? Have you ever started in Genesis and read it all the way through to the book of Revelation? He said, no, I haven't. And this Christian said, well, how can you set out to prove it's wrong if you've never read it? I challenge you to read it. He started reading. He got saved before he got to the New Testament. He got saved in the Old Testament. He didn't get to the Gospels. He didn't get to the book of Acts. He got saved over there in Isaiah. And I dare say any person that opens the Bible and with an open heart and with an open mind spends any time at all in it they will get saved. Now, I know most of you here tonight, if not all of you, are already saved. Say, well, if you're giving me one of the reasons why I should consume the Bible, why I should eat the Bible, because it's the way of salvation, I'm already saved. I don't need to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You need to be reminded how you got saved. You need to be reminded that it's only the Bible that tells us we're sinners. That it's only the Bible that tells us there's a penalty for sin. That it's only the Bible that tells us Jesus died for us. And we need to be reminded often from the Word of God what it is that saved us and who it is that saved us and how we got saved. And you only get that in the Bible. And so if you're saved, it's still the way of salvation. We need to be reminded of how we got this blessed gift. Number two, we need to consume it because it's our nourishment for our spiritual body. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, quoting from the Old Testament, Matthew writes this. Jesus said it, in fact. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just like my physical body needs bread, needs sustenance, needs nourishment, so my spiritual being needs the Word of God. I don't know about you, but when I miss meals, there's certain things that happen. First of all, I get a headache. I mean, when I miss a meal, I get a pounding headache. And then I get grouchy. I get irritable. I mean, you don't want to be around me if I've missed a meal. And then I get weak. I mean, I feel weak right now because it's been a long time since lunch. I'm going to go on, don't worry. And then if you don't eat for long enough, what happens? You die. Now, the same thing is true if you miss your spiritual nourishment. If you miss the Bible, you start to hurt in your spirit. You get grumpy. You get weak. Now, you won't die. I mean, the analogy stops there because you're saved. You have life eternal. But you get weak as a Christian. And we need to eat the Word of God, again, by reading it, memorizing, studying it, meditating on it, just like we eat day by day. Brother Clint and I were talking this morning. You know, the worst thing that we can do to our physical bodies is to go through this cycle where we stuff and then starve. I mean, where you have a great big meal, you know, like you do on Thanksgiving. Turkey, dressing, all the fixings. And then you don't eat on Friday and Saturday because you're trying to make up for all that stuff you ate on Thanksgiving. That's the worst thing that you can do for your body. In fact, I've read that even, you know, we've heard this 3 meals a day, and I believe in 3 meals a day, but they're telling us now that it's better for you if you eat 7 meals a day. Amen. That's right, Brother Leonard. Now, not 7 the same size of when you're eating 3. Smaller ones. Smaller meals. 7 a day. Spread them out. Now, and it's the same thing in the Bible. If you set out to read your Bible through, and the first day you're going to say, I'm going to do it, and you read 50 chapters. And maybe you're okay the second day, and you read 40 chapters. I guarantee you by the third day, you'll be so tired, you'll say, this ain't for me. It ain't for me. It's better if you eat the Bible just like you eat physical food. Take a little bit every day. Take a little bit twice a day. Take a little bit 3 times a day. But take it in little chunks, just like you eat physically. We need it. It's our nourishment. And by the way, I will tell you, eating the proper amount of food, eating at the right time, is important for those 2 little boys back there. It's important for the oldest person in this room, and I won't point any fingers. And it's important for everybody else in between. It's important to eat right. It's important to read the Bible right. It's our nourishment. Number 3, he keeps us well. In Psalm 107, verse 20, the Bible says, he sent his word and healed them. He sent His word and healed them. Let me ask you, what happens when you go into the hospital most of the time? They put you on a diet. Yeah, that's what it feels like sometimes. But they put you on a diet. I mean, most of the time when you go into a hospital, regardless of what you're going to have done, they'll put you on us. They'll send you this little piece of paper. Circle one. Last time I was in there, I circled all three. I still only got one. Circle one. You know, circle one from this group, circle one from this group, circle one from this group. I mean, even when we treat doctor moms at home, treat their children, what's the number one prescription for sick kids? Chicken noodle soup. Maybe it's changed since I was, but I mean, every time I got sick, I had chicken noodle soup and castor oil. And I hated castor oil. Chicken noodle soup. I mean, when we get sick, we know that one of the ways to help us to get well is what we eat. And when we get sick in our spirit, when we get discouraged, when we get downhearted, when we get lonely, when we feel depressed, one of the things that you can do is get on the right diet. Get back into the book. Get back into the Bible. It works healing in our spiritual bodies just like the right food does in our physical bodies. Number four, it guides us. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The first part of December, I think I was in Philadelphia. I was in a motel room. 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't know about you, but at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't even like to answer the phone, let alone go to the door. I always tell Debbie, answer the phone. Go to the door. Here it was, 2 o'clock in the morning, and most of the time when I'm in a hotel, I gotta wake up, turn the light on, look at the phone, figure out where I am, because it has the name of the city that you're on, in on the phone. 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, I tell you what, I'm gonna pretend there's nobody here. I'm just gonna creep over to the peephole that's in the door and look out and see who this is. So I didn't turn the light on. Sure enough, I stubbed my toe on the dresser. You know how you do it. It hurt. Now, last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, Sherlock, who's an outside dog even in the winter, starts just barking. What's the matter with the dog? I go like this. I said, see, what's the matter with your dog? You see what's the matter with the dog. Well, I'm at home. I'm in a familiar place. I can creep over to the window. If there's somebody out there, I don't want to turn the light on. You turn the light on, they can see you. You can't see them looking through the window. So I said, I'm in a familiar place. I'll just creep over there and see what he's barking at. Sure enough, I stub my toe on the bed. Hopping around. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're in a strange place or a familiar place. It's better to have a light shining on your path so you won't stub your toe. Now, the same thing is true in our Christian life. We walk through our Christian life many, many times in darkness, and we stub our toe and we get off the path because we don't have the light on. I mean, we got a light in this book that will guide us, that will show us our path and show us our way if we'll only use it. Number five, it keeps us clean. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, the Bible's like soap. It keeps us clean. When I was a kid, I hated to take a bath. I mean, I had too many other things to do. I mean, from the time that I got up until the time the sun was down, I had things to do. Playing and, you know, just different stuff. I hated to take a bath. Probably because one of the reasons we didn't have a shower when I was growing up, all we had was a bathtub. And I said, you know, how can you get clean in a bathtub? If you're dirty, you get in the water and it's dirty. And the thing I hated worse than all was when my mother decided that my hair needed washing. Now, when I was growing up, I had hair like her. I mean, my grandfather cut my hair. And every couple weeks we go over and he'd just take the clippers and put a big white thing on it and just run it over my head. And yet, my mother thought that every now and then I needed my hair washed. I didn't have any hair, but she, and I can remember, I was probably as old as Hannah, five years old. I can remember getting, you know, on my knees down on the side of the tub, putting my head down like this, and Mom just lathering up my head, and I can remember, I hated it. And I said, "You're drowning me. I'm dying here. This is getting in my eye." I said, "Dad, you need to come here and help me. She's trying to kill me." And that's why, I mean, she washed my hair. Now that I've gotten older, I love to take showers. Yeah, I know, Millie. Good, amen. No, I don't know that you do, but I know that I do. You're going to mess me up. But I got to get into the shower before the girls do, because they'll use up all the hot water. So I try to get in. I'm selfish that way. I get in there first. I turn the water on as hard as it will go and just as hot as I can stand. And I'll get the soap and lather up, and I'll just stand there and I'll do my best meditating and thinking while I'm standing there in the shower. I love it. I take one in the morning before I go to work. I take one at night before I go to bed. I just love to take a shower. Now, and maybe I'm being too personal tonight, but I'm trying to make a point. The Bible is the same way. The Bible keeps us clean. I mean, nobody, probably not even these little ones back here, would think about going a week without taking a bath. I mean, I know when I, if I have to miss one either in the morning or night, I sort of feel uncomfortable all day. I feel like there's little bugs crawling around on my skin, you know, and I just feel stinky. And that's the way we ought to feel when we don't get to read the Bible. A little bit uncomfortable, a little bit dirty, a little bit stinky. It keeps us clean. And then number six, the Bible shows us our true selves. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I mean, let me tell you what I mean by this. We can fool other people. We can even fool ourselves as to what we're really like. But when we get into this book, it's a sharp two-edged sword that cuts away all the veneer. It cuts aside all the masks that we wear in front of other people. And it shows us, if we'll look in this book, what is the true thought and the intent of our heart. It shows us who we really are. Most of us don't like that, because we think of ourselves as something else. In the book of James, it says, you know, reading the Bible and not paying any attention to it is like looking in a mirror and seeing something messed up and not fixing it. It's a waste of time. When we go into this book and it sort of like a doctor doing exploratory surgery to find out what's really wrong, he cuts us open. That's what the Bible does, and lays out before us what we really are. He says, you know, you can be better. You can change. And so it shows us where we are and where we need to go. So why read the Bible? It's the way to salvation. It's nourishment. Keeps us well. Guides us. Keeps us clean. Lets us see our true selves. So, read it. Read it. Study it. Hear it preached every time you can. Memorize it. Meditate. Let's stay with the Bible. God's book. God's book. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these simple reminders from your word. And I pray that, and I know there hadn't been anything new tonight. Nothing, no big revelation. But some simple reminders of why it's so important to stay in this book. And I pray that as we do, you'll help us, Holy Spirit. That you'll help us as we read it, as we memorize it, as we study it, and that all the things that the Bible is intended to do, and we just mentioned a few of them tonight, all the things that the Bible is intended to do, that it would accomplish that in each of our lives. Help us to be faithful to this book. Now, Father, I pray that you'll bless the time of invitation. You're speaking to somebody's heart tonight about something. I pray that they'd be obedient. They'd listen and be obedient to what you say. Bless the invitation. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.